give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord. Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. This past Tuesday was Valentine's Day. I sent members of my family an appropriate Valentine's card. So glad we're family. And on Tuesday, I surprised the town and country director and staff with a simple little Valentine's card. And Jesus says to us today, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I did not see any Hallmark car with dear enemy, I love you. And so I decided to look up the word enemy this year. And the online Webster's Dictionary defines the word enemy as this: a person who feels hatred for, fosters harmful designs against, engages in antagonistic activities against another, an adversary or opponent. The word hate. Is there someone who hates you? Is there someone you hate? And Jesus calls us to love our enemies. And that sentence in chapter 5 of Matthew is included in all kinds of laws in the chapter, the 5th chapter of Matthew. And in the gospel we heard today, we're hearing more demands. We've even heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is what we've always gone by, but I say to you, this phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, actually is one of the oldest laws. Before any laws were written down, before Hammurabi put laws on a big pillar so people would remember all of these oral laws that had been handed down. And the purpose of the law, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, was so if there was an injustice, someone poor or someone rich would have to pay equally. There was no more because this person is this and this person is this. Everyone has equal retribution. That would be the justice they were aiming for a thousands of years ago. So in this particular gospel, Jesus is asking us to do more than feels human. Jesus sounds like this is almost impossible. And yet what he's inviting is that we do not poison ourselves with the toxicity of resentment or revenge, anger, hatred, any kind of injustice. And he ends this area of invitation and law to go beyond with that lovely sentence, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." But what helps is if you knew that in the Greek, the word perfect is in the future tense. If you attempt to live this way, if you attempt, you will become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So we have the grace of process and transformation. And yet, this invitation seems beyond our capacity. How do you love an enemy and pray for those who persecute you or hate you or have harmed you? And that process includes forgiveness. And so I share with you a very amazing story that only could have happened through the grace of God. This is on the internet. May 24th, 2011. Something terrible happened in Jessica Rokel's life. She called her mother that day, and the phone rang, and finally voicemail picked up. She waited a few hours, called again. She wanted to share some good news. This time, it immediately went to voicemail. Well, that's strange. That's never happened. So she calls her grandmother and finds that her grandmother is actually at the police station filing a missing persons report on her daughter, Jessica's mom. It took search and rescue 3 days to find Jessica's mother. And her body was not recognizable. They suspected it was Jessica's stepfather, found him crossing the border in Nevada, arrested him. He pled guilty. At the sentencing trial, in which he was given 55 years, Jessica asked to speak to the courtroom. She went to the microphone. She looked at her stepfather. "Regardless of what you have done, I still love you for the person you were to my brother and me. God has kept anger off of my heart. God has given me an unearthly peace. God has wrapped me in his love. I do not know how you came to the point of needing to kill my mama. But please know there's hope. And I pray for you every day that you will find Jesus again and have a relationship with him stronger than you ever did before. Your decision was so wrong. And I know that you live with that every day. But regardless of what everyone else in this courtroom might think or feel, regardless of what anyone on earth might think or feel, I want to remind you that Jesus died for you and loves you. Later, she was interviewed, and she said, God did not take my mom, but I feel like God allowed them that this event to happen in order to show me what it is like to rely on God. Honestly, as much as I would like to have my mom here, what God has shown me in this short time since it happened, I would not take back. That is amazing grace. That is a transformation that is not of this world. That kind of forgiving love only can happen through the power greater than ourselves, the God who loves us, forgives us, and wants us to have life. Jessica knows that her stepfather will sit in his cell, and she believes the echo of her prayer will be with him every day for the rest of his life. Jessica also believes that because her story's on the internet, God will use this for the rest of her life. And by letting go of anger and substituting forgiveness, she will never be the same. That is amazing grace. And I've actually seen it in so many different ways in my life. And I saw it when I was at Bishop Montgomery High School, those years that I was in charge of the retreats. And on the senior retreat, which was 3 days and two nights up in Big Bear, in a beautiful lodge with a fireplace, on the second night, I would have the seniors get a 3x5 card and begin a spiritual experience, a prayerful experience. And I would invite the Spirit to be present with them, with me, and I tried to let go and let God use me and the words I was about to share. The spiritual experience was called a healing of memories. It's hard for us to feel life if we have the toxic energy of hate or resentment or hurt hanging on. And I shared this with them. And I said, in Scripture we hear, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're going to invite Jesus now to go into your memories and allow what's buried in darkness to come forward and let it go by writing it on a 3x5 card. This is a powerful process, I said to them. The healing of memories is real. So I began with sharing possible moments in their childhood when they were babies and infants and little kids or in grammar school, and now they're in high school. And was there an uncle or aunt who molested them? Was there a best friend who talked about them, who hurt them? Was there someone who physically harmed them? So I repeated moments, possibilities, something that the Holy Spirit was triggering for them to let go. And I'm very aware, even as I share this now, in this sermon, of the potential of some of you identifying or allowing a healing of memory to take place because Jesus is Lord of yesterday, today, and forever, and is here right now. So during this process, I could hear the seniors writing, I could hear some crying, and I came to the end of identifying possible moments of pain or hurt, and now it's time for the next step in this spiritual experience. And I said, when you're ready, take your 3x5 card and throw it in the fire. Let go and give it away. Give it to God. Let this be a symbol of letting go. And when you're finished, come back and sit in your place. So I could see seniors getting up, throwing their cards into the fire, and then they came back. And I said, now it's time for us to finish this experience in God's power. So I invited them to close their eyes. And I said, your feelings might be very raw right now. You might even feel hatred again, not love. So let's begin this process, I said, with asking Jesus, if you're not ready, let Jesus forgive them for you. So I prayed out loud that Jesus would forgive that person who had hurt them, the pain they were feeling. And so I continued inviting them to identify and let go. And then I ended, Jesus, thank you for walking back through every second of my life up to this moment. Thank you for healing me of all my hurts, my fears, my painful memories, and my guilt. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for filling me with your love. Help me to love myself. Help me to love others. But most of all, Jesus, help me to love you. I thank you for giving me joy. I thank you for giving me peace. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for going way down deep into the darkest recesses of my mind and cleansing me. I thank you for healing my mind, my emotions, and all my memories. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole again. It's in forgiving love that we have the potential to love our enemies. The sayings and teachings of Jesus we most likely will not find on a Hallmark card. I love you, dear enemy. But the teachings of Jesus that invites us to love through the power of his grace, the power of Jesus to forgive others even when we're not ready, to do more than we could ask for or even imagine, can change your life, can change anyone's life. Today, may you let go and let the healing power of Jesus once again teach you to love. Amen.